speak to that group. Everybody getting back to the right places. That's good. Tonight, a few simple lessons. If you have your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 1. And I want to draw your attention to a couple things. 1 Kings chapter 1. Notice with me if you would. Now, King David was old and stricken in years. They covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. He couldn't get warm. His blood pressure was a little low, and his circulation was a little weak, and he couldn't get warm. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And notice verse 4. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. Now I want to pause right there. I want you to notice tonight, we're going to learn a few lessons from people in this passage. Do you remember that people have been saved because little people did the right thing? Now, I consider all of us in this room as little people. When I say that, we're not that important in the big scheme of things. There are no presidents in this room. There are no ambassadors in this room from a country. We're just normal people. But I want you to notice in this passage, this young lady's a normal person. But I want you to notice a few things about her different. One, she's beautiful. She's probably 18, 19 years old. And she's beautiful. Her dream was not to be married to an old dying man. No matter who it was, king or not. So you'll notice, if you would, the damsel was very fair. You don't find very fair many times in Scripture. You'll find she was fair, but you don't find very fair. She was one of the most beautiful women on earth. And I'm sure she had dreams of her own. I'd love to have a very dashing and handsome husband. They find her. And notice, if you would, and they sought for a girl in verse 2 to let her stand before the king and let her cherish him. Now, cherish is to love, is to give your heart to. It's to want to be a blessing to. It's to be warm to. The Bible says in the New Testament that as a nurse cherisheth her patients. So a nurse is to cherish people that she works for if she's a godly nurse. Well, here's a wife that's being challenged to take care of and cherish, give her heart to this old man who's dying. And you know what? She not only does that, but look at the next word in verse 4. She cherished the king and ministered to him. Now, I looked all over for this word ministry. And it's the same word Elisha did for Elijah. It's much the same thought that Ruth did for Naomi. It's whenever you think about somebody and you try to think about things that they need. And you go about and do it. King, do you need some warm water for your throat? Do you need some cold water? Let me go get some cold water. Do you need some milk? What is it? Can I make for you? You see, she wasn't just a wife at 18 years old. She cherished him, and she was forced into it, and she ministered unto him. And she was forced into it, but she put her heart into it. Paul and Silas were forced into prison, but they put their heart into it. And folks, tonight, our society has got this mindset that if I'm not happy, I don't have to do the right thing. I don't have to have joy. If I don't get what I want, if it's not something that I want to do, then I tell you what, I don't have to be happy about it. A Christian, no matter if they're forced into something or not, is supposed to have the sweetest spirit and the ministering spirit and the cherished spirit because the world is watching. And I see Abishag right here. You don't hear too many things about her except she was forced into this marriage, but she was determined to be the best wife she could be. And I'm certain all of her dreams are down the tube. But she made a difference. Why is it that God, I would ask you this, why is it that God put her name in Scripture? She was a forced wife of David, maybe his 20th or 30th. Why did God put her name in here? Because she did a hard thing with a joyful spirit. And she put her heart into it. And for a young, beautiful girl, she probably did the hardest thing. She loved someone that was not very lovely. Now, I'd remind you, notice if you would in the outline, room number one, David was old and in ill health. Now, you know, some of the things that happens when somebody gets old and ill health, they're not very pleasant to be around. They're rude and they're short. And you know, I've told Susan, I said, if I ever get old and get cranky, just shoot me. I give you my guns in the upper closet. Just pull out the door and there's one there, one up there. Just shoot me. I don't want to be like that. I want to be gracious and loving no matter what. But I tell you what, one of the least favorite things in the world is to visit a nursing home where people are there. You know what I'm talking about. Here, she married a nursing home. And she did it with joy. What a lady. What a beautiful lady. Most of the time, strength ruins the heart, as Samson. Handsomeness ruins the heart, as Saul. Beauty ruins the heart, but not in this case. And I encourage you today, if God's blessed you, I want to encourage you to be faithful. Notice if you would, A in the outline, David was cold, and his servant sought out Abishag to be his wife and take care of him. There are wives today that live in beautiful homes and complain about daily tasks. There are husbands that have sweet wives and complain about things they don't have and don't get. I think as I look at Abishag, I say, Lord, help me to have her spirit. What a gracious lady. All the talents and abilities in the world, but she put her heart into doing the task at hand, even though she was forced into it. Naaman was saved because there was a little maid that was captured, forced into slavery, but yet it couldn't bend her spirit. And she talked about the great God that was in Israel and the preacher that was there, and he could be healed of his leprosy. And he took a little maid's word and got saved. I guarantee he wouldn't listen to her if she'd have been evil-spirited and bitter and mad. She made an impression on him. I'd like to know who that girl's God is. She went all the way to Israel to find out. Folks, tonight, I look in 1 Kings and I see Abishag and I say, Lord, give me her spirit. Give me her work ethic. Give me her devotion. You know that David couldn't have been much of a blessing to her. He's cold, freezing, sickly, and yet she loved him. Notice if you would, be in the outline, she cherished the king and was good to him. Cherish is more than love. It is love in action. Today, I talked with my dad. I called him. And Mr. Dalton, I was in Mr. Dalton's office. And I said, my dad doesn't normally talk to me more than a minute or two. I probably 80% of the phone calls are a minute, 2 minutes. It's just my dad. But at the end of each phone call now, he says, I love you. And Mr. Dalton heard that. Got off the phone. He says, but I thought you said you grew up in government housing. What did? But I thought your dad, idiot. You see, cherish is love in action. It's not love in words. It's when you put your heart into something. And you don't have to. Notice, if you would, I see in this passage that, notice in verse number 4, and she ministered unto him. She took care of his every need. She looked out for him. She tried to find the thing that he needed before he asked for it. You know, there'd be a great thing if some of our young people would minister to their parents. Dad, I just want you to know I washed the car as Dad's head hit the floor. Mom, I want you to know I washed the sheets on the bed in there and I put them back on the bed and as the mom's head bangs off the back of the wall. Can I fix the meal tomorrow night? Could I go get something for you, Mom? Mom, how can I help? Can I wash the clothes? Hey, Dad, can I go mow the yard? Dad, can I edge the yard and make it look nice? Can I trim the hedges? Dad, can I go pull weeds? Very few Christians minister with their heart. Abishag. She's a great lady. Beautiful, all the dreams in the world, gave them all up to be a servant. I am astounded by this lady. How are we tonight? We're not forced into our marriages, and yet we're not near as good as Abishag to each other. We're not forced into our parenting. You know, I mean, we have parents that love us and we don't seem to cherish our parents and love them and minister to them. I just encourage you tonight to take a look at this lady. Think of some of the things that she could have done. God doesn't put things in Scripture by accident. He wanted you to notice and me to notice this lady was special. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, something else happens. Now, David is old, he's sickly, and he has sons. And one of his eldest sons named Adonijah. Adonijah said, well, Dad's about ready to die. I'm going to jump on it and become king. So he gets, notice if you would, in verse number 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he gets his life savings or his wealth that he's got as a king's son. And he gets a chariot. And he gets 50 men to run out and say, behold the king! Behold the king! King comes! And everybody, who is this? Who is this? And Adonijah's riding in the chariot. And he goes down and he decides, I'm going to really woo the people. So he throws a big banquet. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone here. Notice down in the last part of the verse, all the men of Judah, the king's sons, and all of his brethren were invited. So he invites everybody to this big banquet. Everybody he wanted. Trying to become the king. Well, notice in verse 10, but Nathan the prophet and Benaiah, the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Now, there was a reason he didn't call Solomon. Because he knew that Solomon was to be the next king. So he was trying to, notice the phrase in verse number 5, I will be king. He exalted himself as king. You know, I learned a lesson in the first 4 verses. I see a woman that is absolutely devoted to the task at hand. And the next few verses, I see a young man that's selfish as there is. One's entitled, one's a servant. And you'll notice In verse number 12, "Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon." So Nathan gets Bathsheba and he says, "Bathsheba, let me give you some points. You better go to David quick and you better get this settled that Solomon's to be the next king." Because see, David had already promised that Solomon was going to be king. But David is old. He's still sharp, but he doesn't have his physical abilities about him. And so notice what happens in verse 15. "And Bathsheba went into the king, into the chamber. The king was very old. And Abishag, the Shunammite, ministered unto the king." Now, Bathsheba bowed, did obeisance unto the king. The king said, "What wouldest thou?" Verse 17. She had said unto him, "My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thy throne." Now, the reason that's important is because it's more than likely that Adonijah is going to slay Solomon and all of his family because he doesn't have the right heart. She knows that. So notice, if you would, verse 18, "And now behold, Adonijah reigneth." Adonijah has already made himself king. What are we going to do? Did you change your mind? And so you'll notice, if you would, see in the outline, Adonijah tried to take control of the kingdom. One, he prepared himself a chariot to declare himself as king. Two, he threw a big banquet. Three, notice he was the older son and a good man, but he had a selfish heart. He was the older son and a good man. The Bible even says that. But he had a selfish heart. See, notice back over, if you would, in verse number 6. "And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou so done? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Solomon," after Absalom. So here Adonijah is really in line to be the next king. But David has already said Solomon would be the king. And everybody knew that. So he tries to go in and steal the kingdom. He's got a cold heart. But he's a good man. There's a lot of good people that are selfish. And Adonijah is one of them. And notice, if you would, D in the outline, "Bathsheba and Nathan, the prophet, went to David and asked for Solomon to be the king instead of Adonijah." They just reminded him of his promise. And notice, if you would, number one, D1, David refused to let Adonijah be king. Notice in verse 30. "Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. I will see to it that Adonijah is not king." And you notice in verse 31, "Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord the king live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord and call Solomon my son to ride upon his own mule, my own mule. And bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet," here it is, "anoint him there over king over Israel." Do you know how a king is made king? By the preacher anointing them. God calls the king. Remember, God said, don't you choose your king? I'll choose your king. God chose Saul. God chose David over Jonathan. God chose Solomon over Adonijah. You know, folks, tonight, you and I just can't say, I'm going to do this for God. God has to anoint us. But when he does anoint us, we have the power to do everything God wants us to do. So it's important for you and I to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'll be Abishag. I'll just dedicate myself to you. Lord, I am yours. What can I do? How can I minister to you and for you? Lord, how can I cherish you more in my heart? And so you'll notice in this passage that as I see him, I see Adonijah with this selfish attitude, and I see Solomon quietly waiting to be anointed. Did you know God has anointed every person in this room to do the will of God? He's got something for everybody in this room to do. Your job is to say, Lord, I want to do your will. Because when God anoints you, it's the symbol of the Spirit of God coming into your life and giving you the power to do everything God wants you to do. I remember Jonathan Wincheski when he wasn't this tall. He was this tall. I remember. I remember when Catherine was this tall. But when God places his anointing hand on you, you can do anything. Jonathan today was asked, would you lead the music to church tonight? Sure. But he didn't come up and say, hey, I can do better than Brandon. Let me lead the music. There's an attitude that God looks for before he anoints people. And I see an anointing here. And you know, God has everybody in this room. He wants to anoint you to do something mighty for him. And you may say, well, what's mighty? Do you remember the little lady that came to Jesus with her alabaster box and broke it open? Lazarus' sister breaks it open and pours it on his head. She cherished him. You know what Jesus did? He said, every place the gospel is told, every place people hear about how to be saved, they're going to tell the story of Mary. Not Martha, of Mary. Why? She cherished Christ. She loved him. She gave him her best. She broke the alabaster box. Abishag broke her box. I see Solomon going to be made king. Now I want you to notice, if you would, he's anointed in verse 34, told to go down and anoint him. And you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, one, David refused to let Adonijah be king. I think it's because he knew his heart. Two, he called Solomon to ride upon his mule and had Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint Solomon the next king. God chooses you and he empowers you. Adonijah stopped his efforts to be king and asked for Solomon's forgiveness by his actions. Notice in verse 51, it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with a sword. The safest place for a person to be was at the horns of the altar, because you knew you weren't going to get slain in the tabernacle. So he grabs a hold of the horns of the altar and says, tell Solomon I'll be a servant. You see, it was his way of confessing and saying, I was wrong. We can't take into ourselves what we want to do. Everybody's a servant. And when God reaches out and anoints us, we have to do his will. And God will help us. That's why we can do things in the Spirit of the Lord that we could never do in our own strength, even no matter if we wanted it with all of our hearts. I noticed in the outline here, Roman numeral 2, and David gave Solomon some final words of advice, and then he died. Now notice, if you would, in chapter 2, you'll notice in chapter 1 we see these two tremendous events. Abishag, and you see Adonijah trying to take over the kingship. You see his selfish heart. And you see what ends up when we have a selfish heart. He had to run to the altar and say, I'm sorry, Solomon. Solomon waited for God's hand on him. And God anointed Solomon. And God used Solomon. Now you're going to find later on, Solomon started well but finished poorly. We have to be careful of that. Solomon had all of the gifts and ability in the world. He had God's filling. He was anointed of God to be king. But he became selfish. He became like Adonijah and Saul. Notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, notice in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. And notice his charge. Be thou strong there and show thyself a man. I'm fixing to die, Solomon. You take it like a man. Notice, if you would, A, in the outline, David told Solomon he was soon to die, and he wanted Solomon to be strong about it. Notice B, David charged Solomon to obey the Lord and walk in his commands. Now, you know, it's my prayer that I'll have a deathbed for my son, for my grandchildren. Because I would like to be able to say, it's my prayer, I can go up in the rapture. Tonight, I learned something. I saw Lizzie White with an ice cream, and I saw her eating her ice cream, and her meal was right there on her plate, untouched. I said, Lizzie, why are you eating that ice cream first? I mean, she was downing the ice cream. I said, why are you eating the ice cream first? You know, she said, I'm afraid, I quote, I'm afraid the rapture might come and I want to eat it first. Now, I said, you know, that's about the, that's the best excuse I've heard yet. I mean, how can you argue with that? You know, I'm not going to tell my grandchildren that because that's a pretty cool argument about eating your ice cream first. I love ice cream. But I noticed that as I sensed that the only good reason why I would rather, I'd rather not have a deathbed experience is the rapture. But I'd like to be able to look at my son and say, son, let me give you some words. People don't normally die on their last breath. They speak from their heart. I've been in the room more than once with people dying. And you know, they speak from the heart because they know that right around the corner, they're only a few minutes from seeing the Lord. I noticed that I've seen some people that were atheists or agnostic cursing in their last breath. But I've noticed in this passage, notice what he says in verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. He's not leaving a thing out. And as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper. He's quoting Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It hadn't even been written yet. Notice if you would, in this passage, notice if you would, in Roman numeral 2 in the outline, B, David charged Solomon to obey the Lord and walk in his commands. And C, David challenged his son to keep all of God's instructions according to the word of the Lord, word of God by Moses. Now watch this. D, he knew that if his son obeyed, God would cause him to prosper. And God would bless everything that he did. You know, tonight, I want my son to know this. I want my grandsons to know this. You obey the Lord, and he'll make you to prosper. You obey the Lord, there's a God in heaven that loves you, and he will keep his word. In my dying breath, I want you to understand, son, you've got to obey the Lord. You've got to keep all of his commands. Solomon didn't do it. But for all the time that he did do it, he became the richest man on earth. I don't know if there was ever a man wealthier than Solomon. He made stones. He made silver like rocks in Jerusalem. It was worthless. When is silver ever worthless? Only in this day. Why? Because Solomon did obey the Lord for a long time, and God blessed him richly. You know, every father in this room, we want our sons and our daughters to understand, obey the Lord in everything. Obey his commands. Obey his instructions. He listed, notice what he does. He lives, notice, let's count the ways that he said it. To walk in his ways, one. To keep his statutes, two. His commandments, three. His judgments, four. His testimonies, five. He's trying to cover everything that he can. The testimonies of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord. The decisions that he's making. The judgments. Why? He said, because I know if I can just get you with my last dying breath to promise to obey the Lord, God's going to bless you And every father in this room wants his children blessed. Notice, if you would, in the outline, E, God would also be able to keep all of his promises. Now, understand this. The only thing that's keeping God from blessing every teenager in this room, every one of you in this room, the only thing that's keeping you from being blessed of God is obedience. Your obedience. You have to listen, you have to obey, every one of you. If you don't obey, there's no promise God will bless you. But if you do obey, there's a God in heaven that says, I give you my word, I'll prosper you. So what father wouldn't want in his dying breath to say, son, just obey him? David knew that David wanted Solomon to be established as the king and to be blessed of God as king. He wanted him to be a good king. It's listed in verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart. And you know, that's the key. Understand, young people and moms and dads, look, everybody in this room is a son or daughter of somebody. And God says, look, I want you to walk in my ways with your heart. Tonight, folks, I don't want you to come to church because you're supposed to. Oh, if it gets down to it, yes. But I want you to come to church because your heart's in it. I want you to sing because your heart's in it. I want you to be in the choir because your heart's in it, not because we need you. I want you to play your instruments in the orchestra because your heart's in it, not because we need you. I want somebody in the sound booth because your heart's in it. I want the ushers because your heart's in it. And David is looking at his son and saying, notice in verse number 4, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. I will always provide a child, a son that can reign if you just do what's right. That's quite a promise. And notice this. 2, this is E2. David was so honored that God said he would always have a son on the throne if they did right. He wanted that for his children. Now God said, look, I'll always have a son on the throne for you, David, if they do what's right with all their hearts. I'm going to tell you this. One of my greatest prayers is that the Lord would bless Susan and take good care of her, would keep her heart right, but that God would bless my son and my 3 grandchildren, and Mandy, that they would have the right heart. I want to tell you this tonight. I'd rather go back to plumbing and dig ditches if they would just have the right heart. It means more to me that they would do what's right and love the Lord with all their heart than if I became the wealthiest man in the world. It wouldn't matter to me one nickel. I'd rather not be a pastor. I'd rather be a ditch digger if my children will obey from their heart. Because I know God will bless them. I can't do it. How many fathers are giving their children untold wealth? They wasted it all. I don't have to worry about that. If I can just get my children and grandchildren to obey from the heart, God says, I'll take care of the blessings. That's what everybody in this room should want. I look at this passage and I'm so stirred. David in his dying breath says, son, just do what's right. Just obey the Lord with all your heart. That's all I ask. Notice, if you would, F, Solomon used wisdom in dealing with sinful people. The subject sort of changes here. Solomon is the king. He's been declared king. And you'll notice he deals with 2 people. You'll notice he deals with Joab, who was a murderer, and he deals with Shimei, who was a filthy curser. Both men died because they didn't do what was right. Their sins caught up with them. But I want you to know, G, the last part in the outline. If we honor and obey God, our families will also be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody in this room, I hope you want your family blessed. You got to honor the Lord. You got to obey Him with all your heart, with all your soul. You'll notice, are we putting our families in the position of blessing by our obedience to God. Folks, tonight, you got to put your family in the position of blessing. You do it with this right here, with your heart. Tonight, are you in the position of blessing? Young person, mom, dad, it's a choice tonight. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse. If you need to come tonight, I don't think you give your heart to the Lord once and it's done with. I think we have to do it regularly. I think we have to fight with the old devil over the control of our heart. Tonight, a person's greatest joy is that their families have a heart for the Lord. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to remain seated just like normal. If you need to come, you just come and say, Lord, help me to put my family in the position of blessing. Maybe you're a teenager. Lord, give me a minister's heart. Give me a heart like Abishag to do the hard things. Things I'm told to do with joy. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Lord, make us a people like David challenged Solomon to be. We'll be in the position of your greatest blessing. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. If